Amen. Well, thank you so much once again. And if somehow we have not had a chance to meet yet, my name is John. I happen to be the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, North Braddock. And like I alluded to a couple times during our testimony and giving time, we are one church in four locations. And so right now at three other places around the city, people are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ at a Bridge City Church. And I'm so thankful that you took some time out of your busy Sunday morning to spend it here in North Braddock with us. And as we have been doing the last several weeks, we are in a series in the Gospel of Mark titled Good News. And we've been looking at the good news, the gospel. That's all good news means. It's just, it's the word gospel means good news, a good message. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the good news about Jesus and how his word brings transformation and spiritual fruitfulness and productivity in our life. That the words of Jesus, his written word, the Bible, and the words that I believe that God, by his Spirit, still speaks to us today, that those words bring supernatural fruitfulness and transformation in our lives. And I got a bit of a shocking statement for you. It might be a little hard for you to believe this morning, but every day, I wake up and I read the Bible. And I pray. Some of you are like, wow, well, you're a pastor. Well, I've met some pastors that don't. But I wake up in the morning and I open up God's word. I read it primarily on a tablet just because it's easier to carry, but I love nothing more than having a physical copy because there's just something about hearing pages turn and looking at the physical word of God. And I read the word of God and I pray where I can communicate with God, because prayer is not just a one-sided conversation. It's a dialogue that we should have. And to be quite honest with you, anymore my prayer life is more of me listening for him and what he would say than me launching all these needs up to heaven. But I don't do this just out of some religious obligation. I don't do this out of some spiritual formality or just some exercise because I'm a Christian or because I'm a pastor. I do it because God's word, the word that we read, his living word, the Bible, and the words that he speaks to our soul when we commune with him, these words produce supernatural increase in our lives. See, I don't read the Bible just because I'm supposed to, because I'm a Christian. I read the Bible because it has helped me overcome insecurity and self-loathing. It has made me confident to accomplish the purposes and tasks of my life. I read the Bible because it has given me clear direction and purpose for my life. I read the Bible because it keeps me out of jail. And it keeps money in my bank account. I read the Bible because it answers the questions that I have about the intricacies of life. I read the Bible because it speaks words of encouragement to my weary soul and eases the anxieties of my restless heart. I read the Bible because it provides insight and clarity for a future that often seems uncertain. I read the Bible because it provides me with promises that sustain me when it seems like everything else is falling apart. I read the Bible because it tells me who I am, even when I question if I have any value or worth. I read the Bible because it makes me a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better leader, and it makes me a greater asset to a healthy society. See, the Bible produces incredible prosperity and fruitfulness in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to look at how the words of Jesus produce in our life and what is necessary for maximum effectiveness of that fruitfulness. Because here's the thing. you can receive God's word and it not produce fruit in your life. There was a time not long ago in our country where God's word would go across the airwaves and they would literally, can you imagine in this day and age that they used to broadcast in prime time on the three major channels, Billy Graham Crusades? See, and while everybody in those stadiums full of people could hear the word of God coming, not everybody responded. Not everyone allowed that word to produce the great fruit like I just shared with you in their life. And so what's the catch? Is it because the word of God isn't powerful? No. The word of God is powerful. Isaiah 55 says it doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purposes for which it's sent. And so if we're hearing the word of God and receiving the word of God and not seeing fruit in our lives, the problem isn't with the word of God. The problem might be the condition of our hearts. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to read this morning Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And it says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore, and a very large crowd soon gathered around him. See, I love this. We've been going through Mark. We're only four chapters into it, and almost every week it seems like Jesus is preaching, he's sharing his word, and it's attracting large crowds. So clearly Jesus, whatever he's saying, however he's saying it, must not be very similar with what a lot of the people with the bullhorns on the street corners might be saying, because they don't got a lot of crowds. But we also can't allow ourselves to believe that the crowds mean that what is being preached or taught is actually the word of God. Because the Bible talks about how in the last days, which we've been in for 2,000 years, there will be people that seek out teaching that tickles their ears. And one of the detriments to the word of God in the American church today, as I see it at least, is that the temptation to come to fill seats and fill buildings and get followers and get likes. There's a temptation that we all have to say what people like to hear. But I am here to tell you today that nice, kind words will never produce transformation in your life. But Jesus has a crowd, and the crowd is so big that he gets in a boat. Now he's not leaving, he's not going on a trip, because it says then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. Because what Jesus was doing was he was pushing out to shore because the crowds were so big. He went out onto the lake, not to get away from the people, but he understood that the lake, the Sea of Galilee, which had small hills all around it, and just being on the water, it provided a natural acoustic amplification so that more people could hear what he was saying without him having to shout. So Jesus gets out on a boat so that more people can hear his word. And verse 2 says, he taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. And some of you might be like, what's a parable? I'll explain it here in a minute, but it's a story. I'll give you, it's a story that illustrates a spiritual truth. But here we see in verse 3, Jesus is about to teach them a parable. And verse 3 says, listen, listen, exclamation point. Listen. Why? Because Jesus wants followers? No, because you need transformation. A farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he, Jesus, said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And so we see Jesus is teaching them this parable, commonly referred to erroneously as the parable of the sower. Because the parable is not about the farmer who's sowing the seed. The parable is about the four different soils that the seed fell on. So a better way to refer to this parable would be the parable of the soils. And a parable, like I said, it's a story. It's an extended metaphor. It's an earthly story that communicates a heavenly reality. And so Jesus is sharing something that they would understand, because all of these people were either fishermen or farmers or some kind of laborers. But even if their primary job wasn't farming, everyone had a little bit of farming to do, because that's how you grew your food. So everybody is understanding what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus is teaching spiritual truths in a way that people understand, but he's also teaching them in a way that could be kind of confusing. Because later on in this chapter, in Mark chapter 4, verse 34, it actually says that Jesus didn't teach anybody anything that wasn't in a parable. And see, that kind of flies in the face of this, well, we've got to put the cookies on the lowest shelf and make it easy to understand. No, it needs to be easy to understand, but there also needs to be attention. And Jesus would intentionally preach in almost kind of mysterious ways, not because he wanted to hide what he had to say, but he would teach in a way, because everything he said was truth, that when the truth came out of him, it provoked a response in the hearts and minds and souls of everyone who heard it. And it either made them lean in, even if they didn't understand it. They leaned in like, I got it. What's he saying? I know there's something there. What's going on? Or they just fell back and said, this dude's a knucklehead. And see, Jesus, even with his preaching, was intentionally sifting people right off the jump. Because Jesus wasn't trying to fill a church building. Jesus was trying to fill heaven. Jesus wasn't trying to fill his TikTok following. Jesus was trying to plunder hell and fill heaven. And so he would teach in a way that would make people lean in. And that's why many of you, even sitting in this room right now, you have been in situations in church services, or you've heard the word of God in a song, or you've heard the word of God on the radio, and it hearkened to you, even if you didn't understand it, it made you want to lean in. It was touching the inner part of who you were. Last evening, Christine and I had the opportunity to go to a chamber choir with some of the folks here at our campus to hear Caitlin, who was on the keys, be a part of this large choir and sing. And there was a lot, there were songs in Latin, there was songs because it was such beautiful singing, but thankfully they had a little QR code that you could scan for the lyrics. And I scanned that QR code because during one of the songs, a Vesper song written by Mozart, I believe it was, it's in Latin, but I could feel the word of God in it. And in so many of the other songs, I could feel the word of God. See, the word of God is powerful, and it does something. It either makes you lean in or fall back. And if you're here this morning under the sound of my voice, lean in. Listen, as Jesus said, because he would teach them in parables. And in this particular parable, actually later on in the chapter, we probably won't have time to get to it, but Jesus tells his disciples, because they're like, hey, what are you talking about, Rabbi? And he says, it's been given to you, my disciples, to understand the deep truths of the kingdom of heaven, but to everyone else I speak in parables. And they're like, yeah, but we're not understanding either, Lord. And so Jesus begins to start explaining it to them, but he says to them, if you can't understand this parable, this one right here about the soils, you won't understand any parable. And if Jesus' primary methodology of teaching is parables, well then, man, you want to get this one. And so Jesus talks about four types of soil, and these soils, as we'll see here, represent heart conditions, represents your personal heart. It indicates the state of receptivity that you have to the Word of God. Because like I said at the opening, the Word of God is powerful. It produces what it wants. But if it's not producing what you want in your life, if it's you're not seeing the productivity, that fruitfulness, that 30, 60, 100 times fruitfulness, it's not the Word of God's fault. You need to check your heart. And so Jesus goes into the explanation of this parable. And in verse 15 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus starts and he says, the seed that fell on the footpath, right? Can you picture just a farmer? He's got a sack of seeds and he's just walking around his field there in the ancient Near East. He's just throwing seed. And some of that seed landed on a footpath because back then they didn't have fences and borders and boundaries. You just kind of knew where everybody's land was. And so the only way to cut across, how many of y'all grew up? See, I grew up here in this neighborhood. We had all kind of cuts. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, turn to a melanated person and say, what's he talking about? See, a cut was like a shortcut where you could cut through a yard or cut through, and sometimes it was somebody's yard and you might get shot. You know what I'm saying? But like, the path that Jesus is talking about here was the path right on the line of property where you weren't trespassing, you could walk. And so Jesus says, and the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan, because remember, the birds came and snatched up the seed. And he said, the birds are the devil. The devil comes and snatches it up. Why? Because the ground is hard. It can't get into the ground. And now it's producing a demonic attraction in that person's life. Because Satan doesn't want you to hear the word of God. This is why Satan will make you hit the snooze button. This is why Satan will literally, one of the lights in my bathroom went out this morning. Actually, it went out last night because I was up late trying to prepare lunch for today so that I didn't have to rush home from church and do all this prep work, about an hour worth of prep work. So I got half a light out. I'm getting ready to leave. My 13-year-old daughter's on her 51st minute in the bathroom and breaking down in tears because I'm rushing her. You're like this big. I mean, she's so skinny, she might have to run around in the shower to get wet, but still 51 minutes. Then I'm getting ready to walk out the door to come here, and I'm grabbing some stuff. I had this marinade that I was going to put because I was going to bring the marinade here because it couldn't marinate too long. And as I'm splash in the fridge, can't just leave the house with marinade rolling around in the fridge, and half the marinade's gone. See, I know the devil when I see him. Because I know the devil wanted to keep me from coming and proclaiming the word of God to you because he wanted me to come in angry, frustrated, upset, with my heart a little bit hard so that whenever I proclaim the truth of God to you, it wouldn't help your hard heart. And he could keep transformation from happening in your life. But see, it's significant that Jesus says that this hard ground is a footpath because you know what makes our hearts hard more often than not? Being stepped on over and over. People passing you over, passing you by, treading you under their feet. You ever been there? Where because of what's going on in your life, just feeling stepped on, I don't want to hear that. See, I remember when I was there. My oldest son, Devon, is here with his fiance. And this was a little bit before he was born. And I remember this moment. It's vivid. And I'm thankful that the Lord allows me to see my aunt's turquoise Dodge Caravan. This was back when vans only had one door on the side. And I'm going down to where my son's mother lived. And see, back in the day, like, bro, I had to go to payphones because we didn't even have long distance in the house. And I couldn't get through. And I'm all just frustrated. And, and my mom's like, well, you know, just pray about it. And I'm like, F you. And I get mad and I just slam that door. This is before automatic doors. Some of you need to learn how to rewind a VCR tape and close a door on its own, but I digress. And I remember, man, slamming that door so hard it broke the door. The door didn't close no more. And I remember, but I didn't care. And I just went like this, double middle fingers to heaven. F you, God. I know what it's like to have a hard heart. See, but now I know why the enemy wants to manipulate the hardness of my heart, because he knows if my heart ever becomes soft and supple enough to receive the word of God, he knew what would happen. See, and some of you are here today under the sound of my voice, and the devil knows better what God's plans for you are than you do, but you need to allow your heart to become softened enough to hear what God is saying to you, to hear what God is saying about you, so that you can receive that word and it can produce the fruit. Because every piece of fruit that the word of God produces in your life is a death nail in the coffin of the devil. But he said some of the seed fell on hard soil. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Oh, glory to God, praise God. Woo! But if I had a nickel for every person that I have, every rocky soil person that I have encountered in ministry, they hear the word. Some of y'all are chuckling because you're thinking about some of them. And some of you have been lamenting them. Says that it receives the rock or the seed, but watch this. It receives it immediately. It springs up, but since it didn't have deep roots, I like how other translations, this is the New Living, other translations say it had no, they had no depth within themselves. The plant didn't last long. They fall away as soon as, watch this, they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. See, you might be or might be in danger of being someone who hears this word, you hear powerful truth, you hear joy, and it's like, it's not even what I'm saying. But I can't tell you how many times I preach, and it's usually after like my messages where I just feel like I need to just retire and quit. I bombed it, and somebody comes up to me and they say, oh, Pastor, when you said this, it just said, I'm like, I don't remember saying that. Because it's God's word. It's God's Holy Spirit speaking through me to you right now. And you've got to receive it, not because of me, but because it's the word of God. But see, they get that transformative thing, right? And it's like, woo, and they're on fire. But then something happens that makes them wilt up. Jesus says, the sun, right? You ever see a plant that's in shallow soil? It grows, but then the sun shrivels it up and it dies. See, that's what happens to this seed. See, and the reason why it happens, because we receive the word of God with joy, but because there's objects beneath the surface. The seed can take root, but it can't establish good roots. See, and that's why you need to get signed up for our Victory and Freedom Weekend happening August 22nd and 23rd, because this is an opportunity. See, here's the thing. Nobody likes to be called shallow, but the proof is in the pudding. Ball don't lie. See, but this is an opportunity where you can go into an environment and other people come along and start identifying the rocks and the debris that's in your life. You know, most of these fields you see in this neighborhood, they're not fields. There used to be houses or buildings that were there that started to collapse in on themselves, so they demoed them. And what they do is they demo most of it into the basement structure that's below the ground. And so it's just all this bricks and lumber, and then they just push dirt over it and then let grass grow. See, and that's what some of us have done in our lives. We've allowed demolition to take place in our life, and then we just tried to push some dirt over it and wonder why everything that seems to start so well fizzles off as quickly as it started. But see, in this parable, Jesus is talking about, he says it's the problems of life and the persecutions come. Spoiler alert, life is hard. I apologize for stating the obvious to you this morning. Life is difficult. There will always be problems and persecution because we live in a fallen world. I should say always until Jesus comes back, until Jesus removes us from this world and demolishes this world and establishes a new one. But until then, you are gonna have problems. But see, here's the thing. This is the thing I love about this, because the problems and the persecution in the metaphor actually represent the sun, right? What do plants need to grow? Water and? Could it be that Jesus is letting you know the thing that is intended to grow you, i.e. the sun, i.e. problems and persecution, the things you can't avoid no matter how far you run? Could it be that those things are intended to grow you, but the reason you're not growing isn't because God hates you, it's because you have no depth? And he planted you here in Bridge City Church on this Sunday morning to hear that somebody wants to help remove the rocks from your life so that that seed can take deep root. So when the sun comes, it doesn't wilt you, it strengthens you. Because guess what? God is so stinking good, he can even use the problems and persecutions of this life to grow you. But you gotta have depth within yourself. You gotta have depth within yourself. See, nobody plans for difficulty. Did you ever notice that? And the enemy would love for you to plan for difficulty, but now you're living in a world, listen to me, you're living in a world where all you're thinking about is problems. And some of you have actually live a frantic life, not because you're just aloof and naive to the messed upness of the world. It's because all you do, you're like one of them preppers. You ever hear about the preppers? They got like a bunker and they got like buckets full of food that can last for 20 years through a nuclear thing. And you know, when the zombies come or when you've every prepper I've ever met is one of the most uptight, anxious people I know. And I'm not against prepping. It's just like, I'm going to prep, but I'm like, God's in control either way. Right? I'm going to get ready, but I trust, my hope is in the Lord, not in my bunker. But see, the enemy knows if you all he can get you to do is prepare for problems, you will never look to the hope that's on your horizon. But see, the only way to get ready for difficulties isn't to have a bunker. It's to have depth within yourself so the word of God that you hear that brings promises, encouragement, life, joy, security, all of those things, when Jesus said, the wind and the waves, not if, when the wind and the waves start beating against your house, you can stand. Why? Because you've got a deep foundation. I got to keep it moving. Verse number 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is, watch this, crowded out by the worries of this life, crowded out by the travel softball schedule, crowded out by the vibrant nightlife, crowded out by the me time and self-care, crowded out by, I don't know what's gonna happen, crowded out by the worries of this life, and the lure of wealth. Other translations say it better, the deceitfulness of wealth. Because hear me, wealth isn't a bad thing. I've been reliably informed it's a good thing. I wouldn't know myself, but I'm better off than I ever was, both me and my wife, because we have based our life on the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so, this lure of wealth, one more dollar, a little bit more 401k, if I just get a little bit bigger house, one more car, nicer car, a little more clothes, See, and here's what happens. This is why these things are dangerous. They're not bad, they're dangerous, because they will begin to crowd out what God is doing in your life. And I know we have crazy work schedules, and I know there are needs that need to be met, but I want to warn you today, encourage you today, don't let the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth crowd out what God wants to do in your life. Here's a prayer that I pray straight from the Bible. You can write it down, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. It says, two things I ask of you, speaking to God, deny them not to me before I die. First, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Not just removing lying from my mouth, but keep the lying haters away from me, if you would, God. Watch this second thing. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Watch this, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Why is this a powerful prayer to pray? It's not because I don't want to be wealthy, but my wealth ain't going with me, so it would really be for my kids. But I want to be in a place where I don't get so rich that I forget about God, start letting it crowd them out, but I also don't want to be so broke that I get reckless and go do a strong arm robbery. But this is a good prayer to pray. Why? Because the worries of life, which usually come from poverty, and the lures of, you know who loves money more than rich people? Poor people. I'm serious, a heart attack. Because rich people usually understand that money is a means to an end, not the end itself. Because money will never fix your problems, it just amplifies them. Money doesn't change you either. It just multiplies who you really are. So if you're generous broke, you'll be generous rich. But if you're stingy broke, you'll be stingy rich. If you were happy broke, you'll be happy rich. But see, don't let these things choke out what God is doing in your life. Last but not least, I'm gonna have the worship team come up. Verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop. What kind of crop, Pastor? Well, I read to you some of my crop. Confidence, no more self-loathing, needs provided for, joy, all of these things. That's that. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How many could you always use a little bit more love? Joy. Anybody need a little more joy? Peace. Some peace, come on, somebody. Patience. All of you, don't lie. Yes, you need it. Me especially. If you got extra, slide it my way. Kindness. How many could use some more kindness in your life? Faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. This is what God produces in our life. But we have to be the kind of soil that can receive it. And the great thing about it is we don't receive a seed and produce a plant. We receive a seed and produce 30 more or 60 more or 100 more. And you're like, well, wait a second, Pastor. That's not agriculturally possible. That's because I serve the God of the impossible, who promises if I receive his word and put it to practice, I'm going to be okay. So what makes soil good? I had some ideas, but I'm not that smart. So I asked one of our resident experts, Linda Larson, literally right before the worship experience this morning. She is a green thumb aficionado. So if some of y'all are killing your plants, holler at Linda. She's right there. Go get her. She would love to talk with you. So what makes soil good? And she said, we gotta have nutrients. So what are you nourishing your soul with right now? I can tell you this, there ain't much on the internet that's gonna add nutrients to the soil of your heart. But you need to have soil. It has to be soft, it has to be receptive. Because remember, that hard soil, it can't even receive seed. But one of the most fascinating things she told me about that I had never heard was she was talking about the three sister method, where they go grow three different kind of crops all at the same time, because those crops produce the kind of minerals and nutrients from themselves that then benefit the other plants, and they also grow in certain ways so that it enables and benefits the growth of the other plants by working together. And so what keeps the soil of my heart good? There's probably about 30 other men I could put up here, but for the sake of time. See, I look where plants are growing, and that tells me it's good soil, so I get around those plants. And maybe you're here today, thank you guys. Maybe you're here today and you don't have other good plants to get around. Well, that's why you're here today. So that you could hear this word. And even if it's hitting rocky soil right now, that's okay, because our prayer teams, they're going to start making their way right now, because we're going to pray for whatever it is you need, whatever kind of soil you're wrestling with right now. And maybe the seed is hitting rocky soil and it's ready to spring up. Good. You're going to come up and you're going to get some prayer, and some people are going to start digging, help you dig, get some of them rocks out so there's some depth, so that that can be that good soil and you can get around those other good plants so that you can produce 30, 60, 100 times. Maybe it's hitting thorny soil today, and right now you're so worried about your 401k or the stock market or this political outbreak somewhere around the world, or whatever the case may be. Well, you're going to come up and you're going to let somebody know, my heart is dealing with thorny soil. And these people are going to lay their hands on you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to be good plants that cover you and help start funneling nutrients and nourishment into your heart, so that this word that you've heard this morning that you'll never be able to unhear is going to take root in your heart, so that God can see the 30, 60, 100, even more grow out of your life. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I'm good soil, but I'm only feeling like I'm at a 30. I want to hit 60. Then you're going to come on up here and you're going to let these people pray for you, and you're going to see that 30 turn into a 60 in your life, or that 60 into 100. Or maybe you're here today and you were like I was almost 27 years ago. Hard from being stepped on all of my life. So beat down. You can't even receive the word. And that's the enemy's intention, because he doesn't want you to receive it. He wants you to keep living the miserable life and even maybe, just maybe, blaming God for it. But I'm here to tell you today that if you've got a hard heart and you just feel stomped on and stepped on, right now what's happening is this. See, the way you fix rocky soil is you get the rocks out. The way you fix the thorny, weedy soil is to get the weeds out. The way you fix hard soil isn't to break it up with a jackhammer. No, the way you fix hard soil is to saturate it with water so that it becomes supple and soft. And then you begin to gently start to stir the soil so that it can receive seed. And I'm here to tell you today that the water of God, the living water, the Holy Spirit, is saturating your heart right now. And if you're in this place and you say, today is the day I want to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that my sins are forgiven, the fact that God wants to produce fruit in my life, the fact that God has eternal life for me, the fact that I can go from hopeless to hopeful. If that's you this morning, then I want you to just stand to your feet and say, God, I want your word. I need you in my life. I can't keep living the way that I'm living. I can't keep going on the way that I'm going on. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I want to be set free from the bondage of addiction and depression and anxiety and everything else that's holding me back from the maximum fruitfulness that you have for my life. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet right now? Say, that's me. Do not let the devil. Devil, you have no right to keep anybody from standing right now. If that's you, just stand to your feet, because I want you to respond. Amen. See, because here's the thing, folks. You can be a Christian and still struggle with a hard heart. And so if you're here this morning, first one Jesus mentioned was the hard heart. you're the first ones to get some prayer. So I want you to come down right now. If you're struggling with that hardness of heart, make your way to the front. If you're struggling with that rocky soil, make your way to the front. If you're struggling with the deceitfulness of wealth and the cares of this life, make your way to the front right now. And if you want to see the increase of your life, the fruitfulness go from 30 to 60 or 60 to 100, then I want you right now to come out of your seat, file down these two rows, and make your way. And our ushers will direct you to a prayer partner. They will direct you to a prayer partner, and they're going to pray. We're going to do some gardening in our souls today. Amen? Can you say amen? Worship team, lead us in some worship, and let's see God move in people's lives.